Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2529, with a release date of Friday, April 17th, 2026. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A return to production for high gain and Cushcraft antennas. Hams in Hawaii activate for yet another big storm. And darkness returns for Japan's solar-powered satellite. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2529 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin this week with the news that two popular antenna brands, formerly part of MFJ Enterprises, will be back on the market soon under new ownership. Andy Morrison, K9AEWM, tells us what to expect next.
Production of the high-gain and Cushcraft antennas and antenna products, popularized by MFJ Enterprises, will be going forward under new ownership and in a new home in Linton, Indiana. The Indiana-based manufacturing and engineering business, ITU Corporation, has purchased both brands from Martin F. Ju, K5FLU, president and founder of MFJ Enterprises. MFJ, which Martin founded in Starkville, Mississippi, halted production in the spring of 2024. Manufacturing of the two brands will resume at a property that formerly housed the National Guard Armory. The 15-acre site is being repurposed for the production. In a statement announcing the deal, Martin expressed confidence that ITU would honor both brands' tradition of service to the amateur radio community. He said that he was certain that ITU's Dave and Camby Carpenter, quote, share our commitment to American-made quality and customer satisfaction. They bring the engineering expertise and manufacturing passion necessary to keep these products and these trusted American high-performance antennas on towers worldwide for years to come, end quote. The Carpenters are also the owners of the electronic supply store, Tech Shack. ITU, which has its company headquarters in Duggar, Indiana, has also purchased MFJ's designs, tooling, specialized equipment, manufacturing, and marketing rights for use in the Linton location. The company plans to move all manufacturing operations there from Mississippi, a transition that is expected to take about 2 months. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Already battered by flooding a month ago, Hawaii watched as its emergency responders went back on the air for yet another storm. As we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
With memory still fresh from historic storm-related flooding in March, hams in Hawaii were back on the air early this month after the same kind of storm, known as a Kona low, struck the region. The activation, which began on the 8th of April, focused on the same cooperation as before between city and county emergency communicators and Hawaii's Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, or RACES, operators. Staying at their radios overnight into the 9th of April, the RACES hams ensured that traffic could be passed via voice and Windlink email on both 2 meters and the HF bands. An additional overnight shift carried the operation through to its conclusion on the 10th of April. Throughout the activation, the hams were able to pass situational awareness traffic and assist with response coordination, making the necessary adjustments in response to various conditions. When interference disrupted their original channel, the hams had to QSY to a new 80-meter frequency to keep long-range communications viable. The storm, known as the Kona low 3 weather system, came only weeks after back-to-back Kona low storms led to Hawaii being declared a federal disaster area. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The winter storm that held much of the Quad State region and the Ohio Valley in its clutches in late January has long since melted, but one of the more positive parts of that challenging experience still remains, the gratitude that emergency responders in Kentucky have for local hams who stepped in to help. Kevin Trotman, N5 PRE, has that story.
Communicating under difficult circumstances is a big part of what the Amateur Radio Community Services KY4ARC is all about. Earlier this month, the hams were recognized for their readiness in the January winter storm by the Paintsville-Johnson County Emergency Management Director, Paul Burchett. In a presentation of certificates at the club's monthly meeting, Burchett said that club president John Hager, N4KJU, and others provided relays of critical information to other emergency managers at important times throughout the storm. He told members of the club, quote, "We greatly appreciate everything you all do and everything you do for us," end quote. With the storm now simply a chapter in history, club members are still ensuring the lines of communication stay open. Rain, shine, or whatever the weather, they will continue to check in with one another every night at 10 p.m. local time. This is Kevin Trotman, N5 PRE.
A New York State man has been charged with interfering with the radio channels used by emergency services in his city. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has the details.
Police in Central State, New York, have arrested a man and charged him with interfering with emergency radio channels by transmitting false statements over equipment he was unauthorized to use. Local media reports said police stopped Chad Potter of Sherburn, New York, on the 31st of March while he was driving in a vehicle equipped with a number of radios tuned to frequencies where, according to police, he has been disrupting emergency services. A report on WBNG News 12 said that an investigation into reported radio interference dates back to 2021. Police said that fire, EMS, and law enforcement operations were disrupted several times by his messages. The WBNG News report described one transmission as, quote, shots fired, end quote, which reportedly caused concern and confusion among first responders and the public. On the day when Potter was arrested on the radio-related charges, city police had pulled him over in relation to a traffic stop. Investigators said his vehicle was equipped with aftermarket lighting that made it look like he was an emergency responder. Police issued a citation to him for the lighting. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The aging solar-powered satellite, Fuji Oscar 29, made big news in early March when its entry into a full sunlight orbit woke the 30-year-old satellite from a long slumber. Well, guess what? It's nap time again. As Jim Meechins at L2BHF tells us.
If you've been enjoying continuous operation using the newly awakened Fuji Oscar 29 from Japan, you may want to make plans to take a break. MSAT News reports that on or around the 21st of April, the satellite will return to a period of eclipse. In other words, no more sunlight. The Japan Amateur Radio League has estimated that the satellite will remain without power and go back to sleep and out of service for about a month. The satellite is fully dependent on its solar panels since its onboard batteries have not worked in many years. There is a bright spot in all of this, and we do mean bright in every sense of the word. Full sunlight will become available to the satellite again starting around the 20th of May. Hams can once again look forward to more continuous operation through to the middle of November. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
Don't forget, you only have until the 31st of May to tell us about a promising young amateur radio operator who could become our next Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year. Nominees must be licensed hams who are 18 years of age or younger, and they must reside in the continental United States. Do you know a deserving candidate? Visit our website, arnewsline.org, and find the nomination form under the Awards tab. Submit the documentation that tells us how your nominee has played an important role, not just in the community of fellow amateurs, but in the community at large. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the EA5 JAV repeater in Alicante, Spain, on Thursdays at 1400 GMT plus one. Also heard on All-Star, Echolink, System Fusion, DMR, Peanut, and VoIP PABX. When is a ham club POTA not just a ham club POTA? when it turns into an impromptu on-the-air outing for scouts working to earn their radio merit badge. Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ, was there.
It started as a POTA at the historic Santa Fe Prairie Nature Preserve just outside Chicago city limits.
We're just going to do a POTA event, and one of the members is a scout leader and said, well, hey, how about if I bring some scouts?
That member was Dennis Calderon, KC9DSP, president of the Suburban Technical Amateur Radio System. Referring to Tom Bosworth, KE9JQ, who is both an amateur radio operator and active in scouts for nearly four decades. Tom is a Cubmaster for a local pack.
And I'm a radio merit badge counselor. We offered this out to the council. We expected four or five to show up, and we have 35 here today.
Tom was referring to a radio merit badge class. He says it is inevitable that kids today will grow up to have careers in computers and technology.
This is the most basic technology you're going to have.
He said the first thing he covered with the scouts was to tell them what radio is.
Which isn't just ham radio, obviously. It's also broadcast radio. It's your garage door opener.
The club set up five stations, giving the scouts a hands-on experience of how everything works. Club members set up stations for FT8, CW Morse code. They use mobile units to hit their 2-meter repeater, sideband voice.
One of the requirements is for them to talk to five other stations. So when they're on sideband and when they're on the FT8, they're actually participating in the communication.
Dennis, the club's president, plans to host more events for local scouts to not only earn their radio merit badge, but to carry the torch of ham radio.
But we have to get the youth involved and pass it down generation after generation. Get them involved so that they can get into this community to help people out.
From Chicago, I'm Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
An amateur radio operator in Oman is hoping to lead the way for hams to have smoother, more reliable satellite tracking and contacts with the help of his downloadable mobile app. John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us more.
It didn't take long for Yusuf al-Balushi, A46UNX, to find his place in amateur radio right after being licensed in 2024. He was almost immediately drawn to chasing satellites, often using his own homebrew tools. Those challenging early days inspired him to create a free satellite tracking mobile app to help deliver the best possibilities for successful contacts. He gave it the name Ham Setting. A member of the Royal Omani Amateur Radio Society, he shares the app freely with amateurs around the world, whether they're using its interactive map to track the ISS or to search for one particular amateur satellite. The app's numerous features include a built-in SSTV decoder that supports Robot 36/72 and other modes. He told the website, Muscat Daily, that this was his attempt at creating a single place that integrated as many needed services as possible without requiring the user to switch between several apps. Finding all existing apps incomplete, he began his development work in August of last year. HamSatting was formally released this past January. He designed it for use by licensed hams, satellite chasers, and people involved in ARIS contacts. In fact, tracking the ISS is a default function. Individuals who want access to other satellites will need to obtain a free API key from the satellite tracking service N2YO. Yusuf said that the app is also useful for grid square hunters working toward awards such as VUCC. It can be downloaded free from the Apple and Android app stores. More details available at unixear.com. That's UNIXEER.com. He told the website, quote, I hope the app will make satellite communication easier and more enjoyable for the amateur radio community. End quote. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
It's a party, and you're invited to RSVP. April 25th is International Marconi Day, and amateurs around the world will be calling CQ to honor the man who helped bring us wireless communication. Register for the official event by visiting the website operated by the Cornish Amateur Radio Club. You'll find it in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. The number of registered stations continues to grow, and you can see the list as well on the same website. There are awards available for shortwave listeners as well as hams. Visit the website to see how to qualify. Internet-assisted modes, such as DMR, Echolink, and digital voice modes, are not eligible. Speaking of special occasions and special events, International Amateur Radio Day is the 18th of April. Don't forget to get on the air. In the world of DX, Harry, JG7PSJ, will be calling QRZ as JD1BMH from Chichijima, IOTA number AS031. Ogasawara from 26th of April to the 4th of May. He will operate CW, single sideband, and RIDI on 40 through 10 meters. Aldir, PY1SAD, is on the air as 8R1TM from Guyana until the 10th of May, operating CW, single sideband, and digital modes on 160 through 6 meters. He is also operating via satellite from 2300 to 300 UTC during the week and full-time on weekends. Aldir is participating in the CQ-MMDX contest on the 18th and 19th of April. The early moon missions of the 1960s were most certainly awe-inspiring, but for those of us who were perhaps young students here on Earth at the time, they were as distant an experience to us as the moon itself. Well, not so with Artemis II. With 8 universities chosen by NASA to track the Orion spacecraft via radio, the moon became a close and almost palpable presence for the young. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, explains.
Yes, tracking a moon mission can be a personal experience, as many students on several university campuses discovered. In Pennsylvania, Sawyer Mervis and Jake Wendt were up on a campus rooftop in the early morning hours with a parabolic antenna and other student-built equipment. They were collecting data for the U.S. space agency NASA from the 248,655-mile flight around the moon. The receiving station had been a team project, with the Panther Amateur Radio Club at the University of Pittsburgh receiving guidance and support from faculty in various engineering departments. Farther south, students at the American University in Washington, D.C. tracked the Orion spacecraft with a radio dish about 6.5 feet wide, installed by physics major Ankur Perau at a university-owned property in nearby Warren, Virginia. Emotions ran high for everyone toward the end of the 10-day mission. Suddenly, the students were no longer tasked with an assignment that called for tracking, collecting data, and measuring Doppler shift. Now, all eyes were on the return of the 4 crew members as their journey ended safely in a Pacific splashdown. That conclusion brought the Artemis II mission back home to all of them. As American University first-year student Shafak Yusuf said, quote, "We're going to be telling generations about this and that we've played a part in this," end quote. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News, CBS News, David Behar, K7DB, DX Zone, 425 DX News, Groups.io, KTV Channel 2, Linton News, National Weather Service, Paintsville Herald, QRZ.com Forums, MuscatDaily.com, Newsweek, the Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, SFGate, Stacy Holbrook, KH6OWL, WBNG News 12, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTAE, WTOP, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org. And know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.